From Friday, June 21st, through Thursday, July the 4th, a fortnight for freedom. That's what U.S. bishops around the country are calling for, a two-week period of prayer and action. Still on board with us is Baltimore's Archbishop, William Lorry. Archbishop, we went into the break. I was discussing the whole issue of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, and we saw last year as the president and others were pushing for religious institutions, not churches, but those hospitals and other religious institutions to provide contraceptive care, a real tug of war between people's beliefs and then the government forcing them to provide something that goes against their beliefs. Where do you stand on that right now?
Well, it continues. The on August 1st of this year, the Health and Human Services mandate becomes applicable to all nonprofits, including religious institutions. And what basically the government is doing is dividing the church between a worship wing and a service wing. And it's saying your worship wing is exempt, but your service wing is not. It's accommodated. But as you drill down into the accommodation, you find out that the church is still very much implicated in providing not just contraception, but also sterilization, abortion-inducing drugs, and reproductive counseling to minors, including the minors of the men and women who work for the church, whether these employees want it or not.
Right.
So what we're saying is that that represents a real palpable threat to religious liberty. It doesn't matter whether you agree with the church's teachings on these matters or not. It's a matter of a government telling any church that any of its teachings have to be violated by government fiat. It just shouldn't be.
It absolutely shouldn't be. And Archbishop, the other duplicitous part of this is you have folks saying, well, you know, they're not asking the churches to do this or institutions. We're asking the insurance companies to do it. Well, many of these hospitals and the religious institutions are self-insured. So you are demanding that they do it.
We don't have the final rule yet, by the way. And so the funding mechanisms are not entirely clear. But you're correct. There's a big challenge in the self-funded, self-insured entities, and most of our institutions are, in fact, self-insured. And for those that are fully insured, we think that the cost of all of this is just going to be reflected in the premiums. It's a very interesting thing that the current HHS rule generated over 400,000 comments, the most of any federal rule in history. And it isn't just Catholics thinking about this. There is a broad ecumenical and interfaith coalition.
Absolutely.
Also thinking about these things, too. Because it might be abortifacient drugs today, and it could be abortion and euthanasia tomorrow.
And that's why, Archbishop, as you were coming out, I was talking about the 12 states, with Ohio really, and their Attorney General Mike DeWine, who used to be a U.S. Senator, leading the way to try to get HHS to broaden this exemption. So it's not just, you know, for Catholics, as you mentioned, it's for anybody with a strong belief system.
Sure. And, you know, until now, we've been operating on what was called the Church Amendment, named for Senator Frank Church, a good Democrat. He put the Church Amendment in. It was supported by people like Senator Kennedy, had broad bipartisan support, and it's really allowed individuals and institutions to shape its policies and health care plans really according to conviction. And there's not been chaos up until now. Churches typically are very, very responsible employers that provide excellent health care plans for their employees. And so we're not part of the problem for those who are uninsured. In fact, the church has been fighting vigorously for the uninsured since the year 1919.
Look,
this is not new to
right.
us.
Archbishop, what are you looking for after these 14 days? What are you really looking to occur? I know there's going to be, I have a list here of all the different events that are happening across this period of time, but what are you and the other bishops looking for?
I think we are looking, first of all, we are looking for people to be energized and to be in touch with their elected representatives and with the officials in these departments, kind of sending the message that we're not going away. We may not be thought of as a potent political force, but we're hanging in here.
I know you are. I hear that spirit in your voice. Now, June 21st is the opening mass, 7 o'clock p.m. at the Basilica, right?
It is. I'd like to invite everybody to come. We're expecting a pretty big group, a big crowd, but the doors in our hearts are wide open.
As you move forward, Archbishop, and you see again, I've watched this, whether it was the owner of Chick-fil-A expressing his belief and then being descended upon, I really fear for people who have a strong religious belief moving forward because they will really be demonized.
Well, I think there's always that danger, and in fact, the Lord said there would be a certain amount of persecution for the sake of his name, and you know, sometimes we all have to take our turn, but I think it's so important that we pray. It's so important that we are vigilant and, may I say, persevering. It's interesting. This is the second fortnight. I'm going to bet you there will be a third, a fourth, and a fifth fortnight for freedom because religious liberty has to always be defended, and the erosion of our liberties didn't happen overnight. The restoration won't happen overnight.
Last minute I have with you, Archbishop, I do have to ask you about the NSA story that's in the news right now, because part of the concern also is the fact that groups who are in disagreement with the political powers that be at the time might find themselves under investigation. Is it also a concern is that if you take an opposite position on same-sex marriage or something, you might find yourself under investigation?
Well, hearing that story was chilling. I don't know of any Catholic group that has been singled out in quite that way. But I would also say that once you start compromising freedom of religion, it's a very short step to compromising freedom of speech and freedom of political action. Our freedoms are linked, you know.
Archbishop William Laurie, great to have you on. I'd like to get you in studio sometime, okay?
Love to do it. But I thank you for having me on, and greetings to all your listeners.
A fortnight for freedom. We'll talk more about it as we get closer. Thank you, sir.